Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chuck Snow without Rico Muhammad tonight. Rico's taking a well-deserved night off, and riding with me tonight, I've got our good friend Bruce Outridge from the Lead Pedal Podcast and the Lead Pedal Radio. Bruce, are you there? Hang on, see if we got him. We are having some technical problems, ladies and gentlemen, because Rico usually handles the technical side of things. We're going to do our best and see if this works. Bruce, can you hear me? This may not work tonight. Let's see if, hang on a second. We're going to try this for a second. Hang on, see if we can get him. This may be a bust, ladies and gentlemen. If it is, I apologize. We'll certainly make it up to you next week, but hang on, we're going to try something else here. Bruce? One more try.
Can you hear me?
Oh, Bruce, you're there.
Chuck?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, thank God.
If you keep me muted, I can't talk.
Well, I promise not to do that again, pal. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
That's all right. You know, I was listening.
Normally,
I was there. I was waiting. I heard everything you said.
Well, you know, I've only done this side of things a couple times, and I don't know what your first podcast was that you ever did by yourself. And I'm pretty good at public speaking, but I got to tell you, it was, and I said to somebody, I said, you know, try riding in your car or in your truck for an hour nonstop. See how well you make out.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
yeah,
kudos to anybody
like
that can do.
It's like when someone gives you a Rolls Royce, right? You know how to drive, but you don't know how to drive that car. That's a totally different thing. You're doing
very
good.
Well,
we can hear each other, so we're doing good. Did you press the record button, though? That's the secret.
I think we're doing a heck of a lot better than what I did the first time, I got to say.
Good.
You know, there's lots going on in our world today in trucking and everything else. And usually Rico starts and he does the rates. And I'm not doing them today because, number one, our real good source for rates, who's Dean Croak, and he's with DAT. And we get him hot off the press. I hope I don't get Dean in any trouble for that. But anyways, we get great intel. And Dean is out in Barcelona, Spain, visiting one of his sons who's doing a foreign exchange program there. So tonight we're going to skip that. We're going to get right to the meat of things. First thing I do want to talk about, and I know there's some people listening that are waiting for us to step on a landmine here and talk about the truck blockade and all this. And I don't think I want to touch that one. It's just, you know, between what we're hearing, what's going on in Ukraine and the truck blockade and, you know, a conservative leadership convention. I think if people want to hear that, they can dial in somewhere else. First thing I do want to talk about, I was thinking about it all day. Diesel fuel in the United States is hitting $4 a gallon right now.
Yeah.
What effect do you think that's going to have on trucks in general?
Well, I think for the most part, I mean, owner-operators have already been complaining for I don't know how many years now about how they're not making any money, and some seem to be making money. Some are, you know, people still getting into the game, so obviously there's some money there. You know, and there's you and I both know there's a number of reasons why somebody may not be making money, so it's not just the fuel. But it's really going to make people think about what trips they're going to take, where they're going to run. I think you're already seeing that in your business. Owner-operators not crazy about going to some areas. And,
yes.
You know, add that on to the price. You know, I was watching the news right before here. I'm not going to get political on your program, but I'm sure you heard the announcement about right. They're taking away the whole sticker thing, and you know, we won't have to renew our license at all. And I'm thinking, I didn't realize that was an issue that we had to worry about. I know there's an election coming up here provincially, but I thought, okay, with fuel so high, you want to really help me out? Because I went to Barbados for 2 months, and fuel was $1.30 when I left, and it's $1.60 now. And I just bought a new truck last year. So you want to help me out, take fuel back down to $1, take it down to 99 cents. You want to help drivers out? Those are the issues we need to bring the fuel, bring the cost of living down, bring that down. That's what $4 now is adding to the cost of living. Like, you know, your goods are going up. Your banana is going up to $4 bundle now, or whatever it is, right? So it's going to be crazy, and who's going to be able to sustain that, right? You know, and add that to the supply that we've got going on, the supply issues we've already got going on, and then all the stuff politically that's going on in the world. It's a real mess.
Well,
hey,
political.
I know you said
the political stuff's driving fuel. But, you know,
you said you weren't going to do a rates and lanes. I think we're doing it.
I think we are.
The fuel prices are the rates and lanes.
You know, Bruce, it's kind of a mud hole when you think of it. It's, you know, because everything is based on politics, you know, even fuel. Like right now, fuel has spiked up because of what's going on, you know, between Russia and Ukraine.
Right, right.
You know, that's one of
and
the
And it's going to continue.
Have,
yeah.
Of course. And, you know, there are, you know, there are oil brokers that look at these times in totally opportunistic ways. And those people are, God knows what they're doing. I don't know that business. But, you know, they do things for the price of oil. And I think our own government, and this is something I will say against our current government, I think that he did a real lousy thing bringing in that carbon tax when he did. I'm not saying it didn't need to be addressed, but I really think that he needed to bring in the carbon tax way after this pandemic, because the money just, if it went to plant trees or to, you know, save little birds and baby whales, okay, but, you know, it just went into general revenue, and that really got things going as far as inflation. You know, we're seeing look at the difference in fuel. You know, it was $1, you said, when you left?
It was $1.30. It was right about $1.30 when I left. That's mid-December. I come back, it's $1. It went up 30 cents in 2 months. If that's the track we're on, we're in some serious doo-doo. We're not going to be in a good spot at all.
You know, you're right, because there's a huge difference between North America and places like Europe and Asia, because we don't have we don't have trains. You know, in Europe, you can do the equivalent of take a train from Burlington to Acton, no problem throughout Europe. Especially in Southern Ontario, maybe there's some places in the U.S. where you could do it a little better, but I think for the most part in this country, in Canada, you cannot do it. And I can't even imagine going from, you know, Valentine, Nebraska, let's say, to, you know, the middle of Nosebleed, Kansas on a train. How the hell are you going to do it?
Yeah. Our whole location and everything is not set up for, I mean, they should have done that at the beginning. I don't know why they didn't, you know, create a system very similar to Europe. If you've ever been to France or England or anything, you can get around pretty good on a train. Why they didn't start that now? The way they're doing it now, you come to Toronto, there's nothing to brag about with our subway system. It goes up or it goes down. It goes in the shape of a U. And by the time they add more stations on, they finally made one go to the airport. I thought that should have been the first thing you're making, not the last. They just made that. And so we're way behind on transportation, and they wonder why there's so many vehicles on the road. Well, you can't get anywhere without – if I wanted to come and see you and we wanted to have a meeting tomorrow, I can't hop on a train from Burlington to Milton and get over there in, you know, half an hour, an hour, and see you. I have to go to Toronto, switch trains, and come back to Milton.
You would. And you know what? By the time you came to see me, I'd be gone already because it's a full day.
Yeah. We may as well just meet in Toronto for the whole thing. I know.
Exactly.
You know, and so they haven't set this up well. And now that people are not working in the downtown core, I'm wondering if they're going to start changing the way they do some of those things.
Yeah. You know, what I'm seeing also is I think that truckers, I was thinking about it tonight, I think that truckers, you know, we came out of originally truckers were farmers and farmers were truckers. And
yeah,
farmers are the most inventive people in the world. And yeah, I think truckers are too. I think we're good at inventing stuff, because give any trucker that's worth his weight in salt and give him a problem and he'll figure it out, because that's what we do all the time. That's our jobs, really, is figuring out different problems. And
right,
I think that you'll see all sorts of new befangled ways of saving fuel, whether those are, you know, whether we start depending more on other forms of fuel. Maybe this is what maybe this is the push that, you know, the Teslas of the world and just changing the way we do things with electric trucks, propane trucks, natural gas. I know that a couple of the Quebec companies made huge investments in natural gas trucks, and I would imagine for a while they must have been kind of shaking their heads like, why did we do this? But now all of a sudden they're reaping the profit.
I just had a discussion on the podcast with Tucker Perkins. I don't know if you saw that one, propane versus electric. It came out a couple of weeks ago. And you know what? Propane might be something we need to look at. You know, it might be something we need to look at. I'm just going to give a shout out here. I don't know if you don't know this, Chuck, but I just went onto our Facebook page at the same time. So I'm streaming a little bit of this on our Lead Pedal podcast. So Wayne Binkley said good evening. Emily Mac McCoy said good evening. Welcome back. If you guys got any questions about anything to do with mats or trucking, we're just talking. I got Chuck Snow on this show. I'm just hijacking it.
No, please do. That's what, and you know, one of the guests we're supposed to have on either tonight or in the next couple of weeks is Toby Young, and he's the general manager for MATS. And I spoke to Toby today, and he said, you know, Chuck, there's no way I can make it with you guys. I'd really love to do it, but I'm just up to my eyeballs in alligators trying to get this show going. And I think that this year, if any of our listeners can get a chance to get down to the Mid-America Truck Show, you know, it hasn't been running since 2019.
Right.
The 50th anniversary, I think, was last year, or the year before. No, it was last year, I believe. So they were having a big 50th anniversary. They've really, talking to Toby briefly, and they're really doing a lot of things. There's a truck pull, entertainment, but just the people you meet there, and the stuff you'll see. And I think, you know what, for some of our listeners that are, concerned about the cost of fuel and lousy fuel mileage, there may be something there for you that might work. You know, I'm not a big, believer in stuffing all sorts of different gizmos and different sorts of additives down a crankcase. I do use fuel conditioner. I do believe in that, obviously. Diesel fuel conditioner, and some of my buddies will, you know, they're vehemently against it with some of these new engines, but I do believe in it. You know, it served us well, but you know, I had a bad experience when somebody I met at MATS, they convinced me to buy this stuff that you, it was, I don't want to say the name because I don't want to get sued, but it was waterless coolant. And we put it
okay.
We stuffed it in a T-800 day cab we had that was running every night down to the PA New York border. And the guy said to me, he did say it right. He said, in the summer, you will get probably 1 mile per gallon extra. And he was right on the money. In the winter, mileage didn't do anything. But in the summer, We got 8 miles per gallon on that truck because it was a small day cab and it hauled light load both ways. And it was governed at 62 miles an hour or something. And it got up to 9 during the summer because we watched the fuel very carefully because it was the same conditions all the time. But eventually we did some engine damage to that truck with that stuff. Uh-huh. So that turned me right off. And I've heard other horror stories. You got to be real careful. But if something is recommended by somebody that really knows, not a salesman, but if you go into a place like Pittsburgh Power and they suggest something, you know, they're real cautious about their name. They're not going to endorse anybody's product, unless the stuff works.
I was really excited that you were going to bring up Matt tonight because this is my first year going down. I've had it on my bucket list for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. There's always been another show going on the same time or something else going on. And then, of course, the last 3 years, I've just been moving my hotel date. So I'm finally finally registered, finally got a hotel. I'm going this year. We decided, you know, my calendar's clear. So I'm going. What can I expect? What, you know, I've been to Truck World and, you know, a lot of the shows up here. And is it kind of like a Truck World or is it more than that? Give me an idea what I might expect there.
You can stuff Truck World in one part of it. Okay.
That's what I figured.
America. it's bigger and better. It's really something to see. The problem with it is, if there's anything, it's too big and it's really hard to see the show and take in all the lectures. That can be difficult.
Right.
Because there are so many different lectures from insurance people and FMCSA is there. They're always giving lectures or safety lectures. There's Kevin Rutherford is usually there. He's giving lectures on profitability. Great speaker, obviously. You know, there's all sorts of different things. So you do need, you really, to see the whole show and to take in lectures, you need every bit of the 3 days.
Wow.
Now, one thing, couple things I have to warn everybody about. If you're going on Thursday, if you email me, anybody listening and they need help, I'll try to get them VIP tickets because if you go on Thursday and you don't have VIP tickets, you can't get in till I think like 1 o'clock or something, which is ridiculous. And the section where we are, and I'm in, I always get the same booth for traffic. And the reason is I want to be right beside Pittsburgh Power. Because they're really one of the rock stars of the whole show. And in that particular section, you don't get the big wigs coming. And so the VIP section is a lot of the big wigs, the movers and shakers of the trucking and trailer and, you know, industry. And you just don't get a whole lot of those guys coming in the section we are. So you really do need that extra time. And I can tell you, there is so much to see that I remember one year, and this must have been about 5 years ago, I had gone to some lectures, and I was just wrapping up, and I was making the mistake back in those years. Whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, if you do go down to Matt's, I don't care where you're coming from, drive. Do not attempt to fly to Matt's. You can't.
Okay.
it's one of those places. Louisville is a weird town. Now, it is UPS's headquarters, but you can't get there from here with an airplane. it's got horrible air service. It's a wonderful town, but the air service in and out of there is deplorable. Nice airport, but there aren't a lot of flights in and out. There are no direct flights from a lot of places, like Toronto, for example. So you may as well just drive because I used to fly to Indianapolis and then rent a car from Indy. And then one day I missed my flight or they bumped them. And that happens today, too. They bump flights. So all of a sudden, you think you're going to And, you know, you could be, you know, one of our listeners could be in California, or he can be in Georgia or Tennessee, whatever. It doesn't matter. But there may not be a direct flight. So they've got to take another flight, you know, from, let's say, Atlanta, Georgia to, you know, to Cincinnati or something, then make their way from Cincy. And flights get bumped all the time now. That seems to be a reoccurring theme. Actually, even before COVID, but even more so now. So, and that's what happened to me. And all of a sudden, you know, it was just, I was starting to call drivers of mine to see who was heading that way to give me a ride.
I'm going down, but aren't you doing something weird, like flying past it and then driving back? You're going to, like, you're
going
to your brother
or
something.
So I have I have a relative of mine who spends a couple months down in Dade and Broward County, Florida. He's down there. So he's driven his van down. And I'm going to meet him in Florida, and because I can fly from here to Toronto to Florida like nothing, and then pick him up in Florida, and then, or he'll pick me up in Florida actually, and then drive, and then we'll drive up to Louisville together.
Okay,
you know, that's the plan.
Well,
I'm
driving down. Do you go to any of the concerts? I know that Clay Walker is. One of the stars. He's doing the Friday night concert. I'm a big fan of his, so I would like to attend that. Have you ever attended any of these concerts? Is that
no
total and blowout or
no? Because usually what happens is I end up having dinner with carriers. You know, I have this theory. You know, even though I started the company and I own part of it, the company pays me to do a job, and while I'm down there, I got to be working. So. You know, if I meet up with one of our carriers, I certainly don't want to miss the opportunity to have dinner with them. So that's what usually happens.
Right.
And the only concerts I ever go to are at Nastic, because they have a concert for the entire group every year at their conference. But these guys, you know, this show is big, and there's so much to see. And one of the things, just to tell you how vast this show is, it was probably about 5 years ago or so, and I had thought I had seen the whole show, worked it for the whole 3 days, and I was taking a plane from, I think I had it worked out, from Louisville to Chicago and Chicago back to Toronto. And so I had it all worked out to go that way. But it was too early to go to the airport. So I started walking, and don't I meet up with somebody from Amazon that happened to have, it wasn't even a real booth. It was like a piano bench behind a trailer. And
come on, with Amazon? Amazon would have had a whole warehouse, not a booth with that.
Not then. You know what? They were just great. And, you know, I spoke to this young woman. And we had a great conversation. She was from Seattle area. And as soon as I said I was from Canada and I said, we have trucks, she said, give me your card. And so I gave her my card and she says, I'll be calling you in 2 weeks. And sure as hell, she did. And I got to meet her crew in Chicago that was in an adjacent building to our Chicago, or downtown Chicago office. And we started doing a lot of business with them because of that. So it's all the people that you meet when you go to these shows. You know, that's what's so important. You've got to meet people. I see we've got a couple of callers here. I'm going to take a couple of calls if you got a second, Bruce.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Wonderful. From the 912 area code, let's try this. Who we got there?
Hey, my name is Steve. How are you doing
Hi,
today?
Hi, Steve. How are you? Great. Thank you
I'm
for calling.
Wonderful.
Always great to hear from you. You got Bruce and Chuck here.
Hey,
Steve.
I was just, hey, you doing okay?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Chuck and I are just trying to work the dial.
I think you guys are doing a wonderful job. I was just more listening in to you guys' show tonight, and I just wanted to call you and let you know you guys are doing a wonderful, great job on tonight. And the truck is I was looking forward to looking for you at the truck show this year.
I'm going to be there.
I'll be there too. And first line, make sure if you see Lead Pedal Podcast roaming around, you come and say hello. Make sure we're going to take you and my chat together.
All right. I sure will. Hey, Chuck, what is the update on the protests up in Canada so far?
Well, I think that the police disbanded everything pretty much. They've got the ringleaders locked up, and that's my understanding. And
they're
not allowing them out on bail, which is really unusual that they're not allowing somebody out on bail, because Canada lets murderers out on bail. They're holding them because there are threats that these protesters are hiding out somewhere in another part of Ottawa waiting to pounce on another neighborhood, and start having another protest. So
I think
the police are doing that just to hold order. In Canada, the only thing I will say, and at the beginning of the show, I was saying, I really don't want to discuss this one too much because you can't win. But we have a right in Canada to protest. That's in our constitutional rights. Whether you agree or disagree, that's a whole other story. But we do have a right to protest in this country. So we'll leave it at that. See what happens, and let's hope cooler heads prevail.
I do agree with you on that, and let's just say this will be a pretty interesting year this year. And I think I'll leave it at that also. Yeah. but Chuck, it's good talking with you again, and you guys take care. I'm looking forward to see you guys.
Steve,
thanks very much.
From
thanks
you.
For calling in.
Yes, sir.
And I thank you. And we'll see you at the show. And I see we've got somebody here from the 315 area code. It's got his hand up or her hand up. Let's say hello. You got Rates and Lanes with Bruce and Chuck here. Who we got tonight? Okay. We'll put them back on.
She wanted to talk to Rico.
Yeah, you could be right.
Yeah, well, that Bruce guy's on there. We're not going to bother.
No, it's probably the Chuck guy.
The Chuck guy's always on. They know you're going to answer. I'm impressed. Chuck, I got to say, I am really impressed that you're answering the phone. I know I've been on the other end of Rico a couple times when he's not let me in. So I'm now thinking he saw me. He just didn't want to let me in. But you're doing a good job. You're answering calls and all kinds of stuff.
Bruce, I got to tell you, I have this phobia about phones not getting answered. I can't handle a phone not being answered, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I was on our Facebook. I just signed off of our Facebook, but I did leave the address for people to finish listening to the conversation on your podcast there. I just thought I'd see if any of my peeps were hanging around. Some of them hang around on Facebook for a while there. So, yeah, it's a good show. But I am super excited. Like you said about Matt, I am super – it's the people – I've got a lot of people that I know of and seen, and some I've met, some I haven't met, and I'm looking forward to meeting them when I go down. But I go down for the trucks and the people. You know, I've been asked so many times, Bruce, when you go to like a truck show, are you looking for the latest technology? And I go, no, I'm actually really looking just – I walk around like I'm a politician, which is bad because I'm not a politician, but I walk around, shake hands, you know, kiss babies, do all those kind of things. COVID might be different, but we'll see. but I love the people part of it.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And it's so funny because all of a sudden you'll be talking to people for a couple of years and you meet them and they look, always look totally different than how you pictured them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and it's just so bizarre. And the, some of the lectures that that are available, the amount of education that our listeners, we never had stuff like that available to us the way, like, it's coming at you strong. It really is. You know, and sometimes there's just so much, and there's so much to see. But this place is huge. And then remember to go when you're there. There's a whole big truck show outside at the back where people just bring in all sorts of incredible trucks. Like when you drive in at the front, you know, Kenworth and, you know, the Packard Group and Mack and Volvo and all those guys have their, they've got their trucks sitting out there when you first drive in or walk in. And then all of a sudden around the other side is the one truck guys and girls that, and some of the stuff you see, it's priceless. It really is. Just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's just something to see. And these people take such great care of their equipment. And then they'll have classic trucks throughout the buildings. They just park them randomly inside. That's how big it is.
Okay. Wow.
So,
wow.
I'll be
outside with all those big fancy trucks. And it's even there's a guy that is a truck driver. He's also a musician. You've probably seen him. He's well known in the industry down there, called Tony Justice. And we play his music on Lead Pedal Radio. We play his music on Lead Pedal Radio all the time. So I follow Tony on Facebook, and today he said he got a new motorhome, you know, the buses that the Stars drive. And he put a picture up. He says, "My dreams finally come true." Well, that's one of my dreams too. I said, "Tony, hopefully we'll get a chance to do an interview with that in that cool bus that Matt's, because I know he'll be down there." Right? We'll see how that works out. Sometimes putting it out ahead of time might help, right?
Yeah. You know, at the NASDAQ conference in Nashville in November, he was playing, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And they had Winona Judd as well. This is a private concert.
Nice.
It was fabulous. And, you know, speaking of buses, I had a very interesting conversation this morning. I was talking to a guy that owns a bus line, and I think it's I think his grandfather started it, and I don't want to go into that political quagmire, but he said, "I don't know what these truckers in Ottawa and at the border were complaining about. You guys have done phenomenal. You know, in the last two years, better than ever." He said, "We've hardly turned a wheel in 2 years."
Yep.
He said, "The bank, you know," he said, these truckers are complaining, and the bank is ready to take my buses and my property.
Yep.
And I'm not the only one. There's a whole bunch of us in this business that are multi-generational, the sons and grandsons of founders throughout North America." I didn't realize how bad it was until he told me that story. I felt awful for the guy. So, you know, when you say, on your bucket list is the idea to own one of these big coaches and have it as a motorhome, that concept may be a lot closer than you think it is, unfortunately.
Well, one of the big ones went out, was a Greyhound went out early in 2020, early in the pandemic, they went out of business. I'm not sure if all across Canada, but a certain parts of the company
pretty
did.
Much left, if I'm not mistaken, they pretty much left Canada. Probably the same, not far off different reasons than Schneider Truck Lines is leaving Canada. This spring. It's just not worth. This is one big country. You've driven it coast to coast. It's massive, and we don't have the population on the coast and in the center that they do in the U.S. So there's so few bus routes that the Greyhound was making money on. No wonder they left. And Schneider, I'm going to guess, now they said it was a business decision. Well, it makes sense. First of all, it couldn't be any more than 10% of their business would be in Canada, because we're 1/10 the population.
Right.
And it just doesn't fit in.
Yeah. Now you brought up the fuel rate of $4. I'm just wondering, you own a brokerage and a company. What's happening with the rates? You guys would have to, I guess, up the rates in order to compensate for that. So the driver hopefully will get compensated. I don't know if they do that through fuel surcharge only or other ways, but you know, we can't keep going up. What's your thoughts on that? How are you managing to get the freight going around with the drivers and all that kind of stuff?
You know what? You have to, unfortunately, and I don't like it, but it's a fact of life. And please, no disrespect to anybody, but trucks have become a commodity. It's no different than bananas or apples. It's become totally commoditized. And everything is based on supply and demand. And you know what? It's just like if there's a bad frost or something in Florida, and if Florida's turn to produce oranges, well, guess what? There's not going to be any oranges around, and you're going to all of a sudden the oranges have to come from further, or they're so scarce. Maybe 10% of the Florida crop was saved at that time. So that 10% is going to cost you 50% more than the original price. And trucks have become the same thing. So it's just people have to pay what it costs. And that's certainly having a huge effect on inflation.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I just don't see where it's ending. Like it's, you know, how high do we go before everybody loses everything? And we've also been 2 years in an economy where there's been nothing for half of us anyway, you know, where there's been no income for a lot of people, like you're just saying. So where does this go? Where does it stop? At what point do we say enough's enough? That I don't even know how you would approach that because there's so many things wrong at the same time.
What really happens is people have migrated from jobs like bartenders and servers and, you know, jobs like that to better paying jobs.
Yeah.
And they've had to be paid a lot more because, you know, we're seeing this all over.
Yeah, my mom moved recently, and the company that moved them, I was talking with them because they were struggling to move. I'm going, guys, I used to do this for a living. And then I started talking to them. So what did you do? Well, they were all bartenders or restaurant servers, and, you know, they just decided to get into moving to keep bills paid. Good on them, you know, good young guys. And that's what a lot of people, I think, are doing is migrating to other industries. And I guess that's good and bad. It might give people a little more view of what really goes on in the world. People get stuck in their own little industry or their own little world and think that that's the way the world works, and it doesn't.
You're right.
I'm waiting to see what happens when we open up.
Well, you know what? The hospitality industry should really, for the most part, be a stepping stone for young people because it's not a great job for somebody, although you make great money at it. You know, I know someone whose daughter-in-law is a bartender, in a small town in southern Ontario, and at a little pub, and she makes $100,000 a year.
Yep. Yeah, they do make good money, especially if you're good.
Yeah. But the problem is, you know, she's 35 years old, and she's, you know, still quite attractive. When she's 55, she probably isn't going to be as attractive, and she won't be tending bar because it's number one. It's a hard job. So where do you go from there? You're the hostess in a steakhouse for minimum wage?
Yeah. Well, hopefully she moves up to management. I guess that depends on the size of the bar and all of that. But I know my son-in-law went through that. He was a bartender for years and years. But he's male, and he got to the age of about 40, and, you know, nobody would hire him. And he had too much experience to work for whatever the minimum wage or the wage is when you're starting out, of course. And and so he's moved on to another industry. He's in doing handiwork and stuff like that. But people do move, and I think that's why it you know, people need to keep educating themselves. You and I both are doing things, you know, outside of the seat of driving where we used, we probably all started, right? So, but it's yeah. a good job. I worry about what this pandemic's done to everybody because even the nurses, you know, if you had a nurse, if you were nurse, you made big money. I mean, I remember they were all being dragged to the States, you know, and paid crazy money to go to the States. Being a nurse now after the pandemic is like being a truck driver. It's like, well, I'm not sure. I know people getting out of it. I go, you're getting out of nursing? But yeah, they, you know, people have had enough of the pandemic and they're now realizing now that we call them essential services, they realize maybe we're not being paid enough. And I know truck drivers are thinking that. They're going, we're not paid enough. We're so essential. We were anyway, about a year ago, but now we're not as essential apparently. I don't
Well, I think it's still, I think we're every bit as essential. And I think that truck drivers are starting to earn, as are truck owners. I think we're starting to earn what we're worth. I think for a long time it was, and for many years since deregulation, for the most part, it was a buyer's market. The shippers had all the control. And, you know, they'd right. go in to see a shipper, and he'd say, you know, you better be the cheapest or you can get the hell out of here right now. You know, it was that sort of an attitude. And now, you know what, those guys are having one hell of a time finding somebody to ship their stuff.
Right, right. Is that where all these dispatchers have come in? Have you noticed, and I think, I don't know if it's in the States more than Canada, but there's like a ton of dispatchers. Like, there's people dispatcher courses. And I know that at TCA, they were talking about that and saying that for a lot of those dispatchers, they're not putting in the same as you would with a load broker. You don't have the same, you know, insurances and those kind of things in place. What are you hearing?
Yeah.
You're in that space. What are you hearing there?
I'm hearing the same thing. Now, I understand both sides of it, okay? First of all, there is a need out there. You know, while you're driving your truck and you're driving from Toronto to Chicago, you've got somebody that's looking at the load board. You know, not everybody
right.
is fortunate to have a wife or a daughter or somebody that can sit there and watch the load board and find a load for you. So you pay for
right.
the service. But the problem is, you think you're giving it to Bruce's Trucking, but Bruce's Trucking is 4 hours late because of a delay at getting unloaded in Schiller Park, and the dispatch service decides to give it to Chuck's Trucking as the broker or the customer. I don't know who's got the freight, and that's the big issue.
Right.
So I need to
right.
make sure.
Doesn't that?
So that's where these people are really acting as brokers without authority. They really should. They are arranging freight, and under U.S. law, and Canada's law really has no teeth, but the U.S. law has teeth the size of an alligator. And under U.S. law, it stipulates if you are arranging for freight, you better darn well have a broker's license and a surety bond. That's the law. That's federal law.
I'd be surprised. I don't know. They may all have everything in place. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying I know anybody that's you know doing it illegally or anything, but I have seen some very young people getting into it, and I wonder to get into it and have the surety and the bonds and all those things that you say you're supposed to have. How did they get there? Like, and I see it adding now another piece to the puzzle, right? Your freight just went up. You're now paying another piece to somebody,
right.
You know, along
exactly.
the way. And so now
like,
how,
exactly.
you know, it's adding more to the and taking more from the driver. So we got all these people who are load brokers, dispatchers. Yeah. Where's the driver in all of this? We're short of trucks.
Well, okay. So right now, let's just talk about an owner operator. Right now, that owner operator is paying the broker, let's say 15% cut,
yep.
which is pretty much standard. Okay. So he gets 15%. Then all of a sudden they're paying another 5% for factory. Okay. They don't always
yep.
say five. Sometimes it's, but quite often they are paying 5% because it's hidden costs. So now he's giving up 20% to that dollar. Now he's going to give another 5% to the dispatch service. So now he's got 25%. So you know what? That's a lot of money that he's given up before he even turns a wheel.
Right. Right. And then you add your $4 a gallon, $4 a gallon on for gas. How much gas is like, I can see why they're saying we're not making any money, because there's really not left. You're basically taking the top 50% and just giving it away. Like it's gone. It's gone in cost. And that's even if you're watching what you do and not eating, three meals in the truck stop a day and hotels and all that stuff. That's just, take that 50. So no wonder we're short on drivers. We have to make this.
No, I don't.
For
think,
the trucking industry,
right
it has
now,
to be. It has to be made.
Bruce, I think there's enough money in it now where somebody can afford that, even with the exorbitant insurance and road tolls and everything else. Although everybody's got their hand out. I think it's the owner operators out there that are doing the stupid stuff that I see. Number one, some of them are greedy, and they'll chase the highest price and then take bad freight. We've seen that before.
Right.
And I think every broker has seen that, where somebody has taken one of our loads and, you give a carrier a load for $1,000, and then that carrier goes and offers it to another carrier for $1,300 with the intention of never paying.
Yep.
Okay, that goes on. Like that fraud is rampant throughout North America. So if they know that it's a traffic load, especially sometimes they even pick it up at our terminal, and we don't catch it, and all of a sudden, 90 days later they're calling. They're going, we were never paid for that shipment. Well, we paid. Our name was even on the bill later. Somebody offered them $300 more, and they thought they were going to get paid. That's one of the stupid things people do all the time. The other thing that they keep doing is people don't want to run regular routes, and that's where they get into trouble. This week they're going to Mississippi. Next week they're going to Los Angeles. These aren't tour buses. These are trucks.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, I'm a firm believer, if you run from New York to Chicago and Chicago to New York, the good brokers on both ends are going to know who you are. You don't need to use a dispatch service. They'll be calling you days in advance to say, Bruce, when are you going to be back in New York? When can you take another load to Chicago? You don't have to lose that 5%. And a lot of the good brokers...
I couldn't imagine not running like that though. Like I couldn't imagine you going all over the U.S. and Canada and using brokers for your whole. Any good company is going to have a good outbound load, where they've got consistent outbound freight, and so it's just a matter of I think that's the way we operate. Most carriers I know will have good outbound freight, and then it's getting back that's the challenge. I would think that would be preferable for most people. I don't know if it's just
In fairness, it's a lot different for your small carrier that has one truck, because the shippers do not want to deal with anybody with one truck, for the simple reason of if you're a one truck operator and you run from Toronto to Chicago, when I call you and you go, well, no, I'm I'm just getting back and I won't, I'm booked for the week. Well, I don't want to waste my time. After the second time, I'm not going to call you. You just call a broker. And that's
right.
Where the business has changed so much. And now large brokers are putting their technology inside the shipper's offices. So they just download all the orders right onto the broker, and they take that whole job function out of their building. And they just give it to somebody else here. We make widgets, or we make auto parts or whatever. We make, spaghetti sauce. We're good at it. You guys look after the trucking. they're learning not to try to be everything, because there's people that can do it a lot better. And sometimes, you know, you got to remember the broker has the ability to use that freight to go and reposition a truck to bring back somebody else's freight. So he makes it a round trip, which works out really well for the whoever owns the truck, and it works out for everybody. It works out well for the broker, and it works out for the well for the shipper. But it's the whole idea of running down into an area and coming back, like always being in that same general idea. Because, you know, talk to the insurance companies today. They hate open board trucking. They're not comfortable with it. Because the more familiar your drivers are with going into, whether you're an owner-operator or you have, 100 trucks, if you're always, if you're going into one area, you get familiar with it. Drivers get familiar with it. They know where to stop, to sleep. They know where to buy fuel. They know where the dealers are. They know if they have a tire problem. All of a sudden, you're in an area you've never been to before, and you don't know stuff. You know, it's like, did you ever run down 15 and get through Pennsylvania, down by Harrisburg, where you had to, had to get off there, and if you didn't know it, you could get a huge fine, and you can get yourself in a lot of doo-doo.
I like that area. I used to run a lot down that way, actually. 15 was one of my regular areas for magazines. We used to all run down that way.
Well, it's almost a 15. Last time I was on it, it was almost an interstate. And you just had a couple of big pulls. Other than that, it wasn't a bad road. You know, and then the alternative was you'd have to go all the way east to 81. You know, and that put
If I'm an owner-operator and I've got one truck, I would think I would be using a load person like yourself as my regular route.
Yeah.
Like, I may not be able to take every load you've got, but I'm going to make this relationship that, hey, whenever, you know, just book it, like 2 weeks from now, 1 week, however long it takes for me to get back, you know, that's going to be the way that's the way I would work. I don't see how anybody could work any other way.
Bruce, some people have, they have a sense of adventure in their blood, especially guys. The van trailers, not so much, but except some of them go a little wacky during like melon season and onion season. All of a sudden they get information and they hear that, that the loads of onions are paying, $10,000 from Yakima, Washington, and dry vans and flatbeds. And they go out there, and by the time they get out there, they're paying $6,500. Because the first, when you hear these rates, it's always a week old. And the first trucks that get out there, those are the guys that are getting, top buck. And then after that, it starts to come down as the supply of trucks meets the demand of shippers.
I've always, when I was an owner-operator, I was in the moving industry. So we had our steady work from our van line up here. And then when we were coming back out of the States, we had to deal with the van lines in the States. And that's where, most of the drivers, the owner-operators in moving, will actually plan to run empty. They actually can turn it and break even if they're empty. They always prefer to get a load. But I know some of them have systems like, 24 hours, boom. And I'm on my way home, whether I'm loaded or not, or whether I've got, they have it down to such a fine science. And I would think you could be listening to you talk about the rates, up in Yakima, Washington. I always laugh when I hear that song, that town, because that's a town I use to teach reading maps when I do, when I work with some of the schools here in Ontario, and I'm teaching map reading to new students,
right.
I use that town. I go, find that town, Yakima, Washington. So every time you say it, I'm laughing. Someone who can see all of those different load types, I would think if you had planned your year out, if you're totally independent, I'm thinking these guys who don't even own their own trailer, they're power units only, right? They kind of go wherever there's a trailer and a load, they'll take it. You could you could do pretty well, but you have to be really on the ball. Like, that's planning, I think, beyond most people for a whole year of, okay, I'm going to be in this region for this 3 months, and then I move into this region where the loads are hot. And that's got to be a nightmare for anyone. I mean, you know, I don't even think anyone could pull that off.
Well, you know what? You could, and there are people doing it. I think it's more, there was a show probably before your time called Moving On. I don't know if you remember it.
I love Moving On. That was a great show. I love that show. That's a great show.
On that show, they did a lot of that sort of stuff that really didn't exist to any degree back then. Today, there's an awful lot more drop and hook than there was, you know, 46 years ago, or I think it was longer than that. Today you could do that, but the smart money usually on those, power only drop and hook, the majority of the smart money will work with, the Landstars or the Riders and those companies, and they're fine with power only, but they'll run you from, let's say Virginia to Connecticut and back. And they won't normally send you from Virginia to Colorado, drop your trailer, and then pick up, then there's no trailer, and then maybe you have to go all the way to, you may have to go all the way to Nebraska or even Chicago to find another trailer. I think you could drive yourself nuts. Yeah. And the other issue you have, I have a good friend of mine that does a lot of she does a lot of power only, but she's leased to Landstar, and then Landstar has her leased on to a manufacturer, and they've got a huge trailer pool. And she said one of the things she doesn't like about power only is sometimes the condition of the trailers. And you get into, you get into a snowy yard night like tonight, and even with a flashlight, you can't see everything, and it's got a ding on the side, or maybe a gouge in the roof you don't even know about because it's a sealed trailer. These are the issues people have with power only. I don't think I would be comfortable in pulling a power only deal to any great degree. It's great if you can make a deal with Utility Trailer or something, or Great Dane bringing up their trailers from the U.S. or repositioning them somewhere. Those deals work out pretty good because they're brand new trailers. And you get to use them. Usually a brand new trailer, they have been checked over. But it's not like, and they will check them. We've moved them years ago, and we have, gone through the process. And because it's a brand new trailer, they're doing all sorts of checking. You know what? I hate to be the fun police, but I'm looking here, and we have 2 minutes and nine seconds left in our show. So I want you to tell our listeners how they can get hold of you.
That's great. I was waiting to see if we were going to go right past. Like, we've done that with Rico before, right? Where we've just gotten flying by, go, oh, Rico pressed the button and said, you guys are done. I was waiting to see how that was going to work.
You know what? His parting words to me today, when he said, you sure you can do it? He said, try not to go overtime, please.
We will do that. But thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Probably the easiest way for people to find out, we've got the podcast, the radio show, video channel is leadpedalmedia.com, leadmedia.com. Just go there or get the app in your device store and just look for Lead Pedal Media. And that brings all of our content into one spot. That's the easiest way to find us for sure.
Well, thank you for joining us. If anybody needs to get hold of me, send me a quick email, chuck@traffix.com, or you can call me, extension 203, and the phone number is 800-388-4352 for Bruce Outridge and my good friend Rico Muhammad and the Rates and Lanes podcast. We will be back here next Tuesday with Rico at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You could have been anywhere else. And as Rico says, keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise. And as I says, we'll catch you on the flip-flop. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Racing Lane podcast, good night. God bless. Be safe. Take care.
Great. That's that's awesome. Chuck, you're right on time. You're going to get a gold star. see everybody at Matt's. We're going to be down at Mid-America Truck Show. Make
look
sure you come by
it,
and
man.
See us. Look for us at the traffic booth. Bye for now.
Take care.